most of the Midwest will see a normal mix of weather as we move forward through this next 10-day period, and it looks as though there should be a fair distribution of rainfall across the area as well. But probably the most important part of the forecast is the opportunity for some of these excessively wet areas to begin to dry down over time. Today's most significant rainfall is expected to be mostly confined to southern parts of the region, and in particular, the storms that were reported this morning in parts of Missouri were expected to continue to occur periodically through the day today. Some of the precipitation will diminish for a while during the middle part of the day, and then we'll see some new firing of thunderstorms as we get into the afternoon and the evening hours, and that precipitation will once again occur across central and southeastern parts of Missouri into southern Illinois. We'll also see the precipitation work its way to the southeast as we move through the night tonight and into the morning tomorrow. There will be the potential for some very heavy rainfall in a few areas, and right now it looks like that is probably targeted for the southeastern part of Missouri and southwestern Illinois. Close monitoring of these storms will be warranted because there is a chance that not only will there be persistent heavy rain, but there may be some hail, some damaging wind, and perhaps a little bit of a potential for a tornado or two to occur in parts of this region because of the slow movement and the intensity of these thunderstorms that are going to occur. In the rest of the Midwest, it's going to be a little bit more of a stable environment of sorts here today. We will see some pop-up showers occurring in parts of the region, but for the most part, the precipitation will occur from Missouri and Illinois back to the northwest into the Dakotas and parts of Minnesota. The precipitation that results is expected to be mostly light outside of Missouri. There may be a few strong storms, though, in eastern or southeastern parts of South Dakota. For the heart of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan, northward will likely see relatively quiet conditions for the next few days. I don't want to imply completely absence of rainfall, but many areas will go through the period without any precipitation, and we'll expect to see improving conditions with river and stream floods moving downstream and an opportunity for low-lying areas to begin to dry down a little bit. It'll be a slow process, but it should advance relatively well. We do also expect to see temperatures in a fairly seasonable range at times, but cooler biases will certainly be around for a few days here. We're expecting highs today only in the 60s across parts of the Great Lakes region. Michigan in particular, 70s will dominate the rest of the Midwest. Maybe another little pool of 60-degree highs tomorrow in a small part of Iowa and Minnesota. And we'll expect to see the 70s pretty common across the region on Friday. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we'll see temperatures back into the upper 70s and 80s across a larger part of the Midwest. Overall, the combination of the sunshine, the precipitation, and the warm temperatures occurring rather briefly over the weekend will all end up being favorable for crops across the region. Certainly the heavier rain that occurs in Missouri and southern Illinois, maybe some neighboring areas of the northern delta over the next couple of days will certainly not be welcome. There will be a potential for some worsening flood conditions in some of that community, but we're not expecting it to be very widespread. In the rest of the U.S., we expect to see some more heat occur across some of the hard red winter wheat country. Temperatures yesterday in central Kansas got up to 100 to 105 degrees. That heat has helped to dry down the topsoil and improve winter wheat harvest conditions. And as we move forward through the balance of this week, we'll see some of that heat disappear as showers and thunderstorms occur tomorrow and Friday, and then disappear again and show up sometime during the middle part of next week. Some slowing of the crop maturation and harvest conditions will likely occur across parts of the central plains during these periods of heavier rainfall. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Well, good morning. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. A little technical difficulty, but we have that worked out at the moment, and we'll make sure that everything gets up online if you'd like to hear the complete series of Drew Lerner's weather forecast for the morning. However, we do have Bill Gentry on the phone line with us at Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning to you, Bill. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Todd. Glad to be with you again.
Well, I probably should go through some of the numbers very quickly that came out from USDA. They pegged corn acreage yesterday at 88.9 million acres, soybeans at 85.1. Corn stocks at of June the 1st at 4.45 billion bushels and 625 million bushels. for the soybeans. And then we had quite the rally in the market yesterday. Current ticks in Chicago are lower, but they're still sharply higher than they were. July corn at 410 is down 4. December at 429 and 3 quarters. A penny and 3 quarters lower. July beans are 7.5 lower at 1048 and 3 quarters. The November's at 1029 and a quarter are down 8 cents. How did the overnight trade go? It must have gone a bit higher, or did that happen on the open this morning?
First thing this morning, I think the overnight trade was mildly defensive, and I think realistically that's a pretty good way to start the month of July, to make sure we don't have any real, I guess, hurdles to jump over. I think that the big takeaway right now that we're trying to comprehend and put into motion is the big shift in sentiment that the market has encountered over the last 30 to 45 days, especially the beans and to a growing degree the corn. We had a pretty negative sentiment going through this marketing year, saying we're going to be adequately supplied, we're going to have plenty of stuff to go around, and all of a sudden we realized, based on the quarterly grain checks that we saw yesterday and the way this crop is developing or not developing, we may actually get into a shortage situation before it's all said and done.
Well, how much higher do you think we have at this point, given what conditions are like and if they remain where they are today?
If they remain where they are today, we probably have a little bit of upside just to explore and roam around. But if the conditions get worse, which we're fearful of, going for the next 7 to 15 days, we think we're going to probably get a better determination on how much nutrients this corn crop has to digest. If we have more nutrient loss, we probably have a yield degradation below what we're talking about right now, which means possibly appreciably higher prices yet. As far as beans are concerned, it's too soon to tell. We've talked about, you know, that third week in July being a determination point where we can look at our resources and look at our crop and say, yeah, we're going to be short or we're going to be good. It's too soon to tell, but I would say when we get to that third week in July, the market's going to be real nervous.
This is all just about the physiology of both of those plants at this point. The corn crop, as you probably read or heard from Emerson Nafziger, from Bob Nielsen, Purdue, and U of I, both that the corn crop probably the damage that is done won't recover from it. I'll have more from Emerson this afternoon during the closing market report. But the soybean crop, it can flourish because it's just a later season crop.
Most assuredly. And one of those things you got to keep in the back of your mind, and it's been several years since we had basically like a knee-high crop that really yielded big, but a small bean plant can compensate with a lot of pods. So we have to be mindful of that. And as long as we don't have too much moisture and we've got the nutrients to feed the crop, that determining August is the most important time frame for beans, pure and simple.
Right. What do you expect for the rest of the day today?
I think it's going to be choppy. We're going to see some position scoring ahead of the long weekend. So I'd say the choppy defensive with a buoyant bias.
Livestock, very quickly, I see feeder cattle have settled down just a bit from yesterday's sharp losses.
Yeah, I think the cattle market's on the defensive primarily because, you know, the pork market's really stood up and take notice. So I think the beef in general, the cash prices have been defensive, and the feeders are taking notice of the higher corn price from yesterday.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us for the day.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Bill Gentry. He's at Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, and joins us on this Wednesday morning to take a look at the marketplace in Chicago. At this hour, corn futures are down 2.75 in the lead July. December, a penny and a quarter lower. That's at $4.30 and a quarter. November beans in Chicago are down 6.25. They're at 10.31. The lead option July, by the way, that's 7.25 lower at 10.49. Bean meal is off 60 cents. Bean oil down 29 for the day. Soft red winter wheat at 597.5, 17 and a quarter lower. Live cattle futures are up 65 cents. Feeder cattle 92.5 cents higher. Lean hogs are up 50 cents for the day. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. Crude oil is now trading at $58.28 a barrel. It's $1.18 lower. And the wholesale price of gasoline at $2 and a penny is down 3.9 cents for the day. We're on our way today to a high of about 77 degrees under partly cloudy skies, a 30% chance of rainfall here in Urbana-Champaign. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.